There are Mara Makomos. Everyone should really take Mara Makomos from the back. So there are booklets in the back. Before President Joel leaves, I'd like to thank you, President Joel, for your creative and visionary initiatives at Yeshiva University. This evening of learning is a great example of those kind of initiatives, and I'd like to thank you for your kind and generous introduction. I, too, am looking forward to be teaching in Stern coming fall. I just want to make sure everyone has Mare Makomot. It's this booklet. Okay. It's a great honor and pleasure for me to be together with you here in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, the city of Har Moriah, Bet HaMikdash, the epicenter of the Avodah, the service of the Kohanim and Leviim. Our question for tonight is, how did Shevet Levi elevate itself from the quagmires of Shechem and Yosef to become the spiritual beacon of Am Yisrael? How did they transform themselves from the chastised, from the rebuked in Sefer Breshit in Birkot Yaakov, to become the blessed, the praised, the mevorachim in Birkot Moshe? Let's journey together through the Chumash, Mefarshim and Mekorot, Parshanut, to find out. In Breshit Perek Lamed Daled, we're in source number one. The first time we meet Shevet Levi and Levi himself is in the story of Dinah and Shechem. When Yaakov hears that Dinah was defiled and his sons were still in the field, Yaakov is quiet until they come back. Ve'echarish Yaakov ad bo'am. And Chamor, the father of Shechem, comes out to speak with Yaakov. And when the sons of Yaakov came back min hasadeh, from the field, vayitatzvu, they were very chagrined, vayichar lahem me'od, they were very angry, kinevala asa b'Yisrael, an abomination was done in B'nai Yisrael, among B'nai Yisrael, lishkav et bat Yaakov v'chen lo yaseh. This defilement cannot be tolerated. And the question we're going to ask is, how did they deal with this? What was their reaction? Shechem says, I want to find favor in your eyes, and I want to interact with your community. I want to be part of your community. My son wants to marry your daughter. So Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayanu b'nei Yaakov et Shechem v'et Chamor aviv b'mirma. They answered b'mirma. They answered slyly. They answered indirectly. What does the word mirma mean? Because Dinah was defiled. So they had to have a plan. How are they going to respond to Dinah's defilement? So what do they respond? If you circumcise all your males, then you can intermarry with us. We'll marry into you. But if you don't, we're going to take our sister and we're going to leave. But in Pasuk Tet Zayin, they say something very fascinating. They say, V'hayinu le'am echad. If you circumcise yourselves, we will be one nation. So they're giving the impression to Bnei Shechem, if you circumcise yourself, we'll be one unit. We'll be like family. We will marry into each other and we will be a cohesive unit. What do Shechem and Chamor convince the community? Pasuk Af Aleph. They convince the entire community to circumcise themselves and they say these words. Pasuk Af Aleph. Ha'anashim ha'ele shleimim hem itanu. When Yaakov's sons answered b'mirma, indirectly, really not saying the full truth, but they gave the impression to Shechem ben Chamor and Shechem that they were speaking honestly, that they were really being straight with them. And as a result, the entire city really undergoes brit milah. What happens? Pasuk kafei. Vayhi bayom ha-shlishi, on the third day, biyotam koavim, when everyone was in excruciating pain, vayikhu shnei bnei Yaakov, Shimon v'Levi achedina, Shimon and Levi, the two sons of Yaakov, the brothers of Dina, each one took their sword, vayavo al ha'ir betach, they came sure, they came really confident, and they killed every single male. So first they kill every single male, then they kill Chamor, then they kill Shechem, his son, and then they take Dinah and they leave. But that's not all. What do they do later? They come and they take the spoils. Vayavozu ha'ir. They despoiled the city And also they take booty, they take sheep, they take cattle, and in the end, they also take prisoners. In the end, in Pasuk Lamed, what is Yaakov's response? Does he approve or does he disapprove? And Yaakov responds, Vayomer Yaakov el Shimon ve'el Levi, achartem oti lahavisheni biyoshev haaretz. You sullied my reputation. Achartem oti lahavisheni biyoshvei haaretz, bakanani ubaprizi, va'ani matei mispar. I am really very limited. I have a small number. And what's going to happen? Everyone's going to come to destroy me. I killed them. They're going to take revenge. And what's the response of Shimon and Levi? Vayomru, hachizona yaset achotenu? Can we stand by while our sister's reputation is sullied? And Yaakov doesn't answer back. And that's our question for the evening. Why doesn't Yaakov answer back? Does he approve of their actions? We know he doesn't, because in Pasuk Lamed, what does he say? You really despoiled my reputation. Dina's reputation was despoiled, but also my reputation has been sullied by the way you responded. And the question is, were Shimon and Levi really justified in their actions? Did Yaakov respond in the right way? What we want to see this evening is when Yaakov does not answer Shimon and Levi after they say, Hachizona yaset achotenu, Yaakov really rebukes them in Pasuk Lamed, saying, you did the wrong thing. But after they answer, Hachizona yaset achotenu, right, but her reputation was despoiled, we have to really defend her, the question is, was Yaakov silent because he had nothing to answer? Or did Yaakov want them to learn the lesson? They are now coming into Eretz Yisrael. Shechem was their first encounter with the local population. Yaakov wants to educate leaders. He wants his sons to take over, to really be the next leaders. So they have to learn from experience. But what happens with Shimon and Levi here, instead of including Yaakov in their decision, they're so arrogant, thinking that they now have the right answers. And what Yaakov is saying, you have to think of your activities. A leader has to think of consequences. A leader has to think long term. And you're young whippersnappers. You need my advice. You have to look at the bigger picture. Just because you wanted to defend your sister's honor, your reputation and your moral and ethical gravitas is still very important. And how do Shimon and Levi learn that lesson throughout Sefer Bereishit? That is our question, and how does it continue throughout? Rashi says something very interesting. Rashi explains, b'mirmah, in the same way that when Yaakov took the bracha b'mirmah, Rashi says b'chokhmah. Here too, Rashi says, b'mirmah really means b'chokhmah. What does the Sforno add to this, and also the Ramban? When they said you all have to circumcise yourself, they didn't really think that they're going to do it. So if they won't circumcise themselves, what will they be able to do? Take Dina. So if you don't circumcise yourselves, you didn't keep your end of the bargain, and we can leave and take our sister. What weren't they ready for? That they will circumcise themselves. Ramban explains, and that's in Ramban in number 3, Ramban explains that really Yaakov did not want, the brothers thought, the Achim thought, that Yaakov should not respond. It's beneath his dignity. So the brothers felt they should speak for Yaakov. And what was the plan? According to the Ramban, the plan was, say you have to circumcise yourself, and hopefully they won't. But let's say they do circumcise themselves, right? On the third day, this is according to the Ramban, when everyone is feeling sick, what will they do? Just take Dina and leave. Everyone will be in a compromised situation. They'll take Dina and leave. So even according to Ramban, when you want to include Yaakov in this decision, right, still, when Shimon and Levi decide to come and kill the entire city, slaughter the entire city, look at the order that they do it in. First they slaughter all the males in the city, then they slaughter Chamor, and then they kill Shechem. Who should they really have punished first? Shechem, right, to show the moral high ground. We're punishing him because he did it. Chamor, because he's the father, he probably was complicit. But what about all the other males in the city? They really did Brit Milah. They thought we were Anshei Shlomenu. They thought we were in peace with them. They took our word that we will treat them honorably. So that is a big question. And Ramban explains, obviously, Yaakov does not agree with their actions, because what does Yaakov bring up in his Birkot Yaakov in the end of Sefer Breshit? The whole Dinah incident. So clearly Yaakov did not approve. So what did he not approve of? Because they really took their viciousness to the extreme, which we're going to see in a moment. But the Breshit Rabbah number 4 says something very interesting. Vayikhu shnei bnei Yaakov Shimon v'Levi, mashma shne'emar, Shimon v'Levi, yadanu shebnei Yaakov hem. Why does it say in the Pasuk, Shimon v'Levi bnei Yaakov? Don't we know that they're bnei Yaakov? And don't we know that they're the brothers of Dinah? Right? All the Shvatim, of course, were brothers of Dinah. So bnei Yaakov, because they're not acting like the sons of Yaakov. If they were the sons of Yaakov, what should they have done? They should have asked Yaakov's advice. He is still the leader. And also, what does the Midrash say? Shelo natnu etza zemize. They didn't even ask each other. They didn't even really discuss with each other. They were both hot-headed. They both had the same idea, but they didn't really bounce it off each other. They were impetuous, right? They decided really and had a hot temper. They didn't really think about it. They didn't really decide together in an organized and rational way. And another thing, though, which the Midrash wants to emphasize in a positive note, why were they so enraged about what happened? Because they loved Dinah. They cared about Dinah. They were even willing to put their lives on the line for her. So that is a good quality. But the question is, was their zealousness, was it gone awry? Was it really too extreme? Which means maybe there were some good qualities here, but they took it to the extreme. And that is one of the criticisms that we'll see of Shimon and Levi in this situation. In Rashi, Breshit Lamedal Pasuk Kaf Aleph, in also in number 4, Rashi explains, what does Shleimim mean, as we discussed? B'shalom uvelev shalem. How did they look at us? They looked at us that we are honest with them. So if now we're tricking them, then my whole reputation is now going to be sullied. And let's just go back up to number 4. The Midrash mentions another important point. It says, Vayavo el ha'ir betach. What does betach mean? The brothers were so sure that they would succeed. Why were they so sure they were going to succeed? They were a minority against a majority. But the Midrash here says something very interesting. Botchim hayu al kocho shel zaken. They were relying on Yaakov, which means they made a hot-headed decision. They jumped in when they really should not have jumped in. They knew they could get into great trouble. But who did they think would save them? Yaakov. Daddy is going to get me out of this. That's immature. Don't get yourself in trouble and think daddy's going to take care of it. That's what the Midrash is saying. They made this decision impetuous. They decided on the spur of the moment. And what were they relying on? That if they get into trouble, Yaakov's going to get them out of trouble. So of course Yaakov sees his sons involved. According to this Midrash, Yaakov in the end had to get involved in the fighting in order to save his children, right? He wanted to save his children. How could they put Yaakov in that situation? Which means, how could they act in a way that they're going to drag Yaakov into this activity? So the points we see so far is that Shimon and Levi were rash, they were arrogant, they thought they knew more than Yaakov, they make this major decision that affects the whole family, they don't look long term. There are some good qualities. They cared about Dinah. She was defiled. They really should have defended her. But they had to be consistent in doing it. They had to at least take the high road. And if they make a condition with these people, what do they have to do if things don't work out exactly the way they planned? They have to be consistent. They have to go along. They have to keep their word. Because what did Yaakov have? His reputation, his word, right? Shem Tov mi Shemen Tov. There's nothing like a good name. And Yaakov had a good name, and now his sons sullied it. The Breshit Rabbah explains it beautifully. We're number 5. Vayomer Yaakov el Shimon ve'elevi achartem oti. So the Midrash answers, what's achartem oti? Rabbanan Amri tzlula haita hachavit ve'achartem ota. The barrel, the water was clear, and now you muddied the waters. I stood for something, and now I don't stand for the same things. So the Midrash goes on and says something very interesting. The brothers say, you muddied the waters. When you were quiet, when Dina was taken and you didn't answer back right away, he was quiet until the brothers came home, you muddied the waters. And we made everything clear. How did we make everything clear? We fought for her, we defended her, and that's keeping a good name. Now no one's going to start up with us. They know you touch one of our women, we're going to go after you. So this is two different views, which means the brothers thought, if we show now, after the fact, we defended Dina, that shows we have a good reputation. But Yaakov is saying, consistency also is important. We could have defended Dina's reputation in a way that would still be consistent with our principles, would be consistent with keeping a good name. You were too rash. You didn't look long term. You wanted to fix the problem of the moment, but you didn't look long term. And we see that Shimon and Levi have a very different view than Yaakov. They're not looking long term. They're not looking down the road. So after they kill everybody, what are people going to say? So we see a really opposite view on a similar problem. Both want to defend Dina's reputation. Both want to defend her honor. Both want to make sure Shechem and the community learn a lesson. But what is the lesson to teach them? Can you teach them a lesson by dishonoring yourself? By losing your own reputation of honesty? And we see something very interesting. The Sforno says it very clear. First we'll do the Sforno, which is second, and then we'll go back to the Rabbeinu Bechaye. The Sforno says, point blank, Sheyomru sheshikarnu be'emunateinu achar shenimolu. What are they going to say? We said if you convert, if you do Brit Milah, we'll interact with you. And now they could say we're liars. So now the reputation of Bnei Israel is that we're liars. You can't trust us. And what does Rabbeinu Bechaye earlier say? One up, we're still in number five. What does he say? Look, a little further down. Lohotzi alai at the end of the first line. Shem ra. Sheyomru hereu la'anshei shlomam. If you make a peace treaty with someone, if you make a peace agreement with someone, you might not like the details. You might feel you made mistakes when you made this peace treaty, but you have to keep your word. Why was Yehoshua so good to the Givonim? Why didn't he just say, you really did it in a false way, right? You lied to us that you come from afar, those who know Tanakh. This is a little tidbit from the side, right? What could have Yehoshua done? I am not going to keep my brit with you. You lie to me, and now I can break my brit. But Yehoshua was so careful not to break that brit with the Givonim, even though they were Shovei Mayim, the Chotvei Tzim, he still didn't break that brit, because your word is your guideline. That is your name. And what we see here is Shimon and Levi, they don't take that seriously. They don't take the reputation of your name, of your word, and what it means. And to Yaakov, that is everything. His reputation and his shem is everything. Trustworthiness. What is your reputation? How do people see you? What do we say? We say, Moshe emet v'torato emet. The idea of emet. Titen emet liYaakov. What is the signature of Yaakov Avinu? Emet. And if the signature of Yaakov Avinu is emet, titen emet liYaakov, then now his whole reputation, his essence has been undone. How can you repair that? Let's go further on. And we can turn to the next page. But before we really look at the next page, I do want to make another comment. What happens after the Shechem incident? Rachel is nifteret, she dies. And what happens? Reuven moves the beds. What does that show? A lack of respect for Yaakov. Yaakov has to make the decision. Yaakov is the Av. Reuven is going to make decisions for him. So we see already, when they come into Eretz Yisrael, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are stepping in for Yaakov. They are making the decisions. How could they make the decisions for Yaakov? Yaakov is the Av. He is the leader of the community, of the family. He's the one who got them, Im Lavan Garti V'Tayag Mitzvot Shamarti. How could they leave the lesson of Yaakov and think that they can really spearhead their own way without having guidance from Yaakov? So let's see the next incident where we see the brothers, and that is with Mechirat Yosef. So our question is, did Shimon and Levi learn their lesson? Did they redeem themselves in Mechirat Yosef or not? No. They go deeper into the depths of depravity. What do we see? Perek Lamed Zayin in Breshit. When Yisrael loves Yosef, because ki ben zekunim hulo, and I'd like to make a comment. What does it mean Yosef is ben zekunim? The first and the oldest of Leah, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, did not prove themselves. So who is Yaakov now going to go to look for leadership? To Rachel's Bechor. Maybe he has potential. And guess what? Yosef had great potential. He really could be the next leader. What happened? Vayikanu bo echav. Yud Aleph, when the brothers saw that Yosef really has greatness, they were jealous. And vayelchu echav lirot etzon avihem bishchem. Where do they go? Where do they go to watch their sheep? In Shechem. Hashem is giving them a chance to redeem themselves. According to the Rambam, what's tshuva? You're in the same situation. You're in the same place, and you act differently. So here we have the Achim in Shechem. Of course, they travel a little to Dotan, but they're in the same general area. They're in Shechem. They're in the same situation. What kind of decision are they going to make when the future of Am Yisrael is in the balance? And what decision do they make? Let's look in Pasuk Yudchet. Vayir'u oto meirachok. They see Yosef from afar. Ubeterem yikrav elehem vayitnaklu oto lahamito. Before he even can get close to them, before he can make a rapprochement with them, before they can even have any kind of conversation, they want to kill him. So originally, they're willing to kill Shechem and that whole community on principle. And now what are they willing to do? They're willing to kill their own brother on the same kind of principle. Are they going back home to ask Yaakov what's really happening here? Killing Yosef would affect the whole future of the Jewish community. How could they do something like that? Even if they think now Yosef is going to take the leadership, until now in Sefer Breshit, what always happens? Whoever gets the leadership, everyone else is out. And the Achim were told that now all the Shvatim are in, but there still might be different personalities and different roles for everyone. Yitzchak's in, Yishmael is out. Yaakov is in, Esav is out. But with the Shvatim, everybody's in. Just everyone will play a different role. What did the brothers think? No. What is Yosef dreaming? Of leadership and exclusivity. But even if you think that, even if you think he wants to take the leadership, to make such a big decision like this, who should you include? Yaakov. You can't just go and decide to kill Yosef without discussing the future of the whole community or the family with Yaakov. You're going to make this long-term decision without really thinking of the ramifications? And what do they do? Pasuk Yotet. Vayomru ish el achiv. Man said to his brother, here comes the dreamer. Now, later on, we'll see the famous Midrash in Rashi. Vayomru ish el achiv. Who are the brothers who spoke here? It's not Reuven, because who speaks in the next pasuk? Reuven comes and is surprised. It's not Yehuda, because Yehuda is the one who wants to sell him later. It's not all the others, because they're really the children of the Shvachot, so they don't have this kind of gravitas. Which of the two brothers we've heard from so far and were active? Shimon and Levi. So it really makes sense, logically. Vayomru ish el achiv. This is Shimon and Levi. And what does he want to do? Kill him, and we'll say a wild animal really killed him. So Rashi brings in something very nice. Look at Pasuk Dal in Rashi. He says, Lo yachlu dabro l'shalom. Mitoch gnutam lamanu shivcham, shelo dibru echad bapeh v'echad balev. Ah, they learned a little bit of a lesson. What do we criticize them in Shechem? They said one thing, and they meant the other. Here, at least, how do they act towards Yosef? Outright hostility. Great. Right? That was a great lesson that Shimon and Levi have learned, right? But what was their great quality that they had for Dina? They fought for their sister. And now what are they doing? They're turning on their brother. Which means the really beautiful quality that they had, right? Even that quality, they have really discarded. And what do we see? Again, look at Pasuk Yud Zayin and Rashi. Hisiyu atzman min ha'achva. What does this mean? The one good quality that they had, that they cared about family, hisiyu atzman min ha'achva. They distanced themselves from brotherly love. So the one good quality that they have, they're not even keeping up at this moment. And what we see is that they are in a downward spiral. So much so that look at number 7. When they are encountering Yosef, vayomru ish el achiv, again, the same phraseology, good chance and good possibility that it's Shimon and Levi. What do they say? Ashemim anachnu. We are responsible. Al achinu asher ra'inu tzarat nafsho bitchaneno eleinu velo shamanu. Al ken ba aleinu hatzara hazot. In all of Mechirat Yosef, we don't have one dialogue between Yosef and his brothers. Is he crying from the pit? Is he begging? Are the brothers listening to his cries? Silence. They are callous. They are dispassionate. They are absolutely cold-hearted to Yosef's cries. But here, for the first time, what do we learn? Yosef was crying. He was begging, save me, take me out of the pit. And they didn't care. They were quiet. They were silent. So what does Shimon and Levi realize now? That their cold-heartedness is maybe the reason for everything that's happening in Mitzrayim. Maybe there's a chance for Shimon and Levi to turn around, to realize that there is some kind of future. And what's fascinating is that who does Yosef arrest? Shimon. Why does he arrest Shimon? Maybe to get back at him for doing whatever he did to him. But also to separate Shimon and Levi. Shimon and Levi Achim. Maybe together they're not so good. Sometimes you have bad company, you have bad friends, you have a bad environment. Sometimes you remove yourself a little from it and you really can move ahead. So Yosef felt if he separates Shimon and Levi, especially after he heard this conversation, that they really maybe have potential, maybe that would be good for them. And the Targum Yonatan has a beautiful comment, right? Yosef puts the gavia in one of the sacks and it says, in the pasuk, vayiftach, pasuk kav zayin in number 7, vayiftach ha'echad et sako. The one opens his sack. Who is that one? Look at the Targum Yonatan ben Uziel that I copied for you. Upatach Levi. Who's left alone now? Levi. Maybe he has a chance to do what? To rethink. Maybe he has a chance to do tshuva. Maybe he has a chance to really redeem himself. And what do we see in the brachot of Yaakov? Shimon and Levi don't really get a bracha. They get a kind of a bracha, but a bracha filled with what? Tochecha, rebuke. In Shechem, Yaakov was silent. When they said, Hachizonaya set achoteinu, what did Yaakov think? They're going to learn from my silence. I already told them what's right. And if they think about it and they're mature, they'll come to the right decision. That's how a leader is. No one's whispering in his ear all the time what to do. But on the other hand, right, what does Yaakov realize now? What does he have to do? A full frontal tochacha. He is going to tell them exactly what he thinks. Why? Because he sees that they really need redemption. They need tikkun. And the only way for them to get tikkun is to get tochacha. So it's not really a criticism. It's not a klala chas v'shalom. It's really a tochacha. It's really an educational message. And what is the educational message? The educational message, we're still on the bottom of page 4. Shimon v'Levi achim klei chamas mecheroteim. Until now, what did you always use? Methods of violence, right? And according to Rashi, what's Klei Hamas? You used Esav's tools. How does Esav solve everything? Fighting, war. How did Yaakov solve things? Ishtam Yoshev Olim, with his words, with his efforts. What else? Besodam al tavo nafshi. Whenever they gather together, my reputation should not be sullied. So in Korach and in Maaseh Pinchas, we don't refer to the people all the way back to Yaakov, right? Another thing, what happened? Ki ba'apam hargu ish ubirtzonam ikru shor. What do we see? And Rashi explains. In each situation, whether it was Shechem or whether it was with Yosef, what was their
anger?
Their anger was their big fault. And not only that, their anger was so strong, arur apam ki az. And as Rashi explains, Yaakov never curses the Shvatim. Arur apam ki az. Their anger should be cursed, which means they have to learn the lesson of mitinut, of being slow, of being rhythmed, of being thoughtful, not of being impetuous, not of being quick, not of being thoughtless. And what will happen in the end? In the end, achalkem biyakov afitzem biyisrael. Not only can they not be together, even Levi can't all be together long term because they have this potential for great anger. What we're going to see beautifully is that that anger and that zealousness is eventually going to be channeled in the right way. even though they will always retain that characteristic. And what we see later on in the Bereishit Rabbah, we're not going to read it because we don't have that much time, but the Bereishit Rabbah also discusses, just like Rashi takes a lot of his parshanut from the Midrashim and really summarizes it in a beautiful way to get his message across. The Malbim speaks more of the Pshat, and the Malbim says very interestingly, he says, Shimon v'Levi achim. After Reuven, who would you expect to get the leadership? We're on page 6. Who should have gotten the leadership? Shimon and Levi. Okay, Reuven did a terrible sin. Shimon and Levi also, you know, were very quick in acting and not thinking in Shechem. But still, you know, maybe they have potential for leadership. So the Malbim says they can't have leadership at this point. Why? Ki hem achim b'midat ha-ka'as v'hanekama. Anger and vengeance do not make for good leadership. Not only that, Bisodam, Vav of the Malbim, when they spoke in Shechem, they made it seem like I was with them in their secret. Bisodam al tavo nafshi. They made it seem like I'm included in that. And that sullied my reputation. It gave me a bad name. And you know what it did? Look further on. Lo hayazeli lekavod. Al techad kvodi. What did they claim? Why are they doing this? For my honor. For Dina's honor. For Hashem's honor. But if they really thought about it, they realize it's not for those reasons. And as a result, Yaakov is calling them on it. Don't rationalize for me. Don't bring me into this and include me. Really, you're using me. If you want to be a great leader, you can't use other people. You can't be angry. You have to make thoughtful decisions. You have to look long term. And that's why they did not get the leadership at this point. And what else does the Malbim say, which is really very interesting? After they already got their vengeance from all the males and they took booty, right, they go on and they attack the animals and they really cause a massacre. Leaders can't cause a massacre. People who are thoughtful cannot cause a massacre. You want to punish the people who sinned? Fine. But the way they did it, after they took their revenge, to still go on, Yaakov says you have to learn a lesson. That's not the way leaders behave. That's not the way Bnei Israel behave. And as a result, right, the Midrash says this was a tochacha. This was pointing to all their faults and for them to have a chance for introspection and for self-definition. And the Midrash in Bamidbar Rabbah, number 11, also tries to explain this. The Midrash explains, and again, if you want to see it on line 6 in number 11 in the Midrash, it says, Kulach yafa ra'ayati. In Shir HaShirim, it says, Kulach yafa ra'ayati. All of Bnei Israel are beautiful. All the Shvatim are beautiful. Hey, didn't Yaakov criticize Reuven, Shimon, and Levi? So the Midrash tries to explain, even when Yaakov was speaking to Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, he's not removing them from the circle of Shiftei Israel. And the criticism that he gives Shimon and Levi and Reuven is also a criticism for the other Shvatim. They should learn from it. But also, vice versa, the brachot that were given to the other Shvatim can also go to Shimon and Levi. All of us have the potential to be great. Doesn't matter what mistakes we made in our life, we can always turn it around. And that's what Yaakov is saying. If you get criticism, don't think someone's putting you down and thinking you have no future. They're giving you criticism if it's given positively, like Yaakov to his sons, right? Not every criticism is given positively. But Yaakov to his sons, the criticism is really given in a positive way, in a loving way. I am giving you the tools for a better life. I am trying to teach you to be better people. These are the things you have to work on. If you work on them, you can really transform yourself. And that is the message that Yaakov is giving. So it's a rebuke, not a curse. So now we're going to turn to Shmot, and we're going to see that the spiral downward of Shevet Levi is going to be reversed. The spiral to the depths of depravity, to the depths of really wantonness, to the depths of callousness is now going to be reversed. And the way the Torah does it, it is just, you know, you really see Maaseh Hashem, Shivim Panim Lo Torah, in every word of the Torah. How is the path to redemption, to Geula, really initiated? And what we see here, we're reading Shmot Perek Bet, Pasuk Aleph. We're on page 7. Vayelech ish mi Beit Levi, vayikach et bat Levi. Why are they anonymous? Yad Hashem. But what do we want to stress in the beginning of Sefer Shmot? Levi. 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 Levi is going to turn himself around. Levi listened to the tochacha of Yaakov, and Levi is now going to take his life in his hands and going to turn himself around. Not only on an individual level, but that legacy, we all are really products of our family. The legacies and the histories that went before us. It doesn't mold us only into who we are, but that definitely informs who we are. And we have the choice to make choices and the ability to make choices and turn ourselves around and go in a certain direction. So, Vayelech ish mi beit Levi, Vayikach et bat Levi. But as we know very well, who are always the instruments of turning everything around? The women. And who are the ones who are going to initiate the Geulah of Shevet Levi? The women, Yocheved and Miriam. Love, compassion, understanding, looking long term. Who are going to be the ones to initiate the transition, the turnaround, the redemption of Shevet Levi and all Am Yisrael? The Nashim. It's going to be Yocheved and Miriam. They will take the first steps to turn things around. Look at Pasuk Dalet, word for word. Vatetatzav achoto merachok. Ledea ma yaselo. When Shimon and Levi stood and saw Yosef, what does it say? What are the exact words in the pasuk there that we just read? Vayiru oto me'rachok. They continue their downward spiral. They push him afar. Their brother. They don't even want to think about him as their brother. They don't want to talk to him. They don't want to redeem him or bring him into the circle. Miriam, who according to the Midrash is having visions and prophecies that her brother is going to outshine her, that her brother is going to be the great leader of Am Yisrael, what is she willing to save him? When the brothers heard Yosef is going to be a great leader and he is going to reach great heights, what was their reaction? Let's kill him and destroy him. Let's keep him afar. And yet Miriam, Vatetatzav achoto merachok, his sister, she stands from afar, Ledea mayaselo. She wants to know what's going to be in the future. She wants to make sure he'll reach great heights. So we see Miriam is a tikkun. Moshe is also a tikkun. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayihi bayamim ahem vayigdal Moshe vayetze el echav. He goes out to his brothers. He cares about them. Vayar b'sivlotam. He sees their suffering. What did we criticize the achim, especially Shimon and Levi, about Yosef? What didn't they listen to? They didn't listen to his cries. Moshe listens to the cries of Bnei Israel. He sees their pain, and he cares about it, and he's going to do something about it. What does he see? Vayar ish mitzri make ish ivri me'echav. He's in the same Dina situation. What are you going to do when one of your family members is defiled or is hit? Vayifen kovacho, he turns here and there. Vayar kiein ish, vayachet ha-mitzri, vayitmeneo b'chol. The mitzri sinned, he's going to punish the mitzri. The next day when he goes out and he sees his brothers fighting, does he kill one of the brothers? No. He speaks to them. So we even see a transformation in Moshe. From hitting the mitzri, and again, it's a mitzri, and he is doing something horrible, he speaks to the brothers, to the individuals, the Bnei Israel. And we see something very interesting that Rashi wants to point out. Without saying it, Rashi is really insinuating and intimating to us that all of Moshe's actions are a tikkun for Levi. Without saying it, but hinting it. Look at the Rashi, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayar b'sivlotam, when Moshe sees the suffering of Bnei Israel, Natan einav v'libo liot meitzar alehem. He cares with them. Make ish ivri, the famous midrash. What was the man doing? He was abusing a Jewish woman. He would make the man stay in the field all day so the mitzri can go be with the woman while the man was at work, and then the man would come home and not know anything was happening. Again, according to Rashi, who's quoting the midrash, what does he want to show? A tikkun for Dina. How do you respond to this? Did Moshe go and slaughter all the Egyptians at this point? No, but the man who sinned should be punished. Let's make it clear. You don't treat the Jewish women that way. What do we know about Shevet Levi? They care about the honor of Jewish women. Another one, which is fantastic in Rashi. Vayifen kovacho. He sees what he did in the house and in the sadeh. Vayar ki ein ish atid latzet mimenu. Sheyit gayer. What was the problem in Shechem? We promised you, if you convert, we'll take care of you. What does Moshe want to show? Even if I see all the way in the future that someone's going to convert, I'm not going to kill this Mitzri. Again, as a tikkun and a kapara for what? For what Levi did in Shechem. So all the actions, right? And again, conscious, subconscious, Dvar Hashem, right? We're not going to get into all that aspect of it. But all the actions here and the way the Torah is telling it to us is to show us the tikkun and the redemption of Shevet Levi. And the beauty is that everyone has a chance to turn themselves around, even Levi, who really seemed like he was not redeemable. In Shmot Perek Dalet, we spoke about Miriam, we spoke about Moshe. What about Aaron? So we see when Moshe refuses to be leader, Hashem says, okay, I'll send you Aaron. And how was Aaron described? Halo Aaron hachicha ha-levi. Yadati ki daber yidaberhu, gam hinehu yotze likratecha v'ra'acha v'samach be-li-bo. Aaron, your brother, the Levi. Another redemption for Shevet Levi. What's the next thing we see here? Hinehu yotze likratecha v'ra'acha v'samach b'libo. What did we criticize Levi for originally? What was he willing to do? Okay, I'll be upfront with you. I hate you. What do we see with Aharon? Even in the depths of his heart, how did he feel towards Moshe? Love, compassion. He wanted to help him. Aharon was the leader in Mitzrayim. Here's his younger brother, upstart, is going to come and take his place, supplant him. And what is Aharon's reaction? I'm happy in my heart. And Rashi and Ramban both comment, what should we expect from Aharon? To be jealous. And what was Moshe thinking in his heart? It can't be that Aaron's such a good person. He's not even going to be jealous in his heart. And what does Hashem tell him? V'ra'acha v'samach b'libo. So we really see a fantastic transformation of Shevet Levi. No jealousy whatsoever. So we spoke about individuals in Shevet Levi. What about Shevet Levi en masse? And now we're going to go to number 14. Egel, of course. Number 14 is the Egel. When Moshe comes down, he breaks the luchot. Wanton behavior. Bnei Yisrael are doing avodah zarah, gilur ariyot, shvichot damim. And pasuk kavav, page 8, number 14, pasuk kavav. Vayamod Moshe b'shara machane v'yomar mi l'ashem elai. Vayasfu elav kol bnei Levi. What do we know about Shevet Levi? Love a good fight. Zealous, zealot till the end. You need someone to take revenge? Put things in order, we will. However, look at the difference. Who has to call them to battle? Moshe. Do they make the decision on their own? No. Vayomar lahem ko amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael. The only way they're going to do it is by what? Tzivui Hashem. Also further on, simu ish charbol yirecho. Don't think that there isn't a place for cherev. Sometimes you have to use klei milchama. Sometimes you have to use the sword, but you have to use it correctly. In Shechem, it was used incorrectly, so it tainted our name. But if you use it correctly, it's correct. Also in Shechem, it muddied the waters. Here, what does it do? It clears the air. It makes things clear. You can't get the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the next minute go and worship the Egel and act in this wanton way. The two don't go together. So when they do kana'ut Hashem in this measured way, according to Tzivui Hashem, then it's okay. And what happens? He says to them, Ivru v'shuvu mishar l'shar b'machane v'hirgu ish et achiv, v'ish et re'ehu, v'ish et krovo. In certain circumstances, even this is called for. Unusual circumstances. And v'yasu b'nei Levi, what's the words that are used afterwards? Kidvar Moshe. They do it because Moshe commanded. They think it's the right thing. And how many people are killed? Shloshet alfei ish, 3,000 people. So we're thinking 3,000 people is a lot. 3,000 people is the smallest number that were ever killed in all of the Midbar. In all the other times where Hashem brings a magefa or Hashem punishes Bnei Israel, 20s, 30s, 40s of thousands of Bnei Israel. Again, a tikkun for Shechem. Only the people who sinned were punished. clear, defined, no collateral damage. What did we criticize Levi for in Shechem? Collateral damage. If you have a lot of collateral damage, you can't take the high road. You can't have the high moral ground. But if you show by your actions, I am really fitting the punishment, then it has a different moral power. Then it really says something else. And as a result, they get a bracha, pasuk kaftet. So for the first time, what do we see Shevet Levi is getting? Vayomer Moshe milui deichem hayom lahashem ki ish bivno ube'achiv latet aleichem hayom bracha. So they didn't get their bracha in Birkot Yaakov outright, but now is the first step. They're starting to get the bracha. Again, we see Pinchas, and Pinchas is very intricate. I'm not going to go into all the issues of Pinchas, but number 15 is very important to understand with Pinchas. What Shevet is Pinchas from? Shevet Levi. He's a Kohen. And when Bnei Israel actually defile themselves with Bnot Moav, and they do Avodah Zarah, or number 15, Vayichar Af Hashem B'Yisrael. Hashem is angry with Bnei Israel. Where did we see Vayichar Af? Where did we see that they were angry? We see that with Shechem. Hashem is turning the tables on Bnei Israel. He wants to test Shevet Levi, Pinchas, Moshe. In Shechem, Hashem criticizes Levi and Shimon because they had too much anger. Now, who's acting with too much anger? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just angry, right? When Bnei Israel are really joining themselves to Bnot Moav. And what does Hashem say? Take all Rashei Ha'am and kill them. Vayashov charon af Hashem Yisrael. And then Hashem won't be angry anymore. Why is Hashem doing this? He wants to test Bnei Israel in the opposite way. When Hashem goes overboard, kivyachol, or when you see things going overboard, is Shevet Levi also going to take the stand? Are they going to do something? And we have this beautiful midrash that is not here in Gemara Sanhedrin, which says that Pinchas argued with Hashem when he saw that Hashem wanted to kill everybody, or he told the Rashei Havot to really punish everybody. Pinchas went up to Hashem and he said, you know what? I'm willing to lose my Olam Haba to argue with Hayyuash Kodesh Baruch Hu. How could you do this to Bnei Israel? You can't go to the extreme. How can you be angry in such a way without limits? Which means we really see Pinchas Shevet Levi learning the lesson. You have to be committed to specific punishments for specific crimes. That's when Bnei Israel will learn the lesson. If Hashem kills everybody, they won't learn the lesson. People won't understand what Hashem wants to do here. So as a result, Pinchas does the most limited airstrike or ground strike ever. He takes his spear and he goes through Zimri ben Salu and through Kazbi Batsur, and then Hashem stops the Magefa. By just killing these two people who were the ringleaders of the act, Hashem stops his anger. What should have Shimon and Levi done in Shechem? Just killed maybe Hamor in Shechem. What did they do? They killed everybody. So what's Hashem showing? You want to see what that looks like? I'm going to kill everybody now. What's going to be your response? So what does Pinchas do? And it's beautiful. He remembered the halacha and then he acted. It's not just, oh, I have a good idea. I'm better than Hashem. Zachar halacha. He remembered what Moshe taught him and he acts. Even when he saw Moshe couldn't act. The younger generation has a role, could do the right thing, but if you don't do it without the leadership of the Mesorah, the leadership of the earlier generation, you're nowhere. But Pinchas remembers the halacha that Moshe taught him. So even though in this moment Moshe can't do it, he's acting really on the principles that he learned from Moshe. And the pièce de résistance, who is Zimri ben Salu? Look at Pasuk Yudalit, and the Torah saves it for the end. No literature like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's literature. Pasuk Yudalit, you only find out who it is. V'shem is Yisrael hamuke asher hikat amidyanit, Zimri ben Salu, nesi beit av, lashimoni. Levi took his stand. What did Shimon decide to do? He never internalized the message. He never turned himself around. He had the same possibilities as Levi. He was in the same boat, Shimon v'Levi Achim. They were together in the same situation. Look what Levi did with himself, and look what Shimon did with himself. So much so that by the time we get to Birkot Moshe, because time is running out, but that's where you have the source books, go back home, spend time to learn it. I'm just going to the end, but I will come back to some of the sources. I just want to go with the flow. In Dvarim, Perek, Lamed Gimel, we're in 20. Okay, we'll go back a little, but I just want to get to this. In Dvarim, Perek, Lamed Gimel, what happens? Levi gets a bracha. This is Birkot Moshe. In the end of Sefer Dvarim, this is Birkot Moshe. We know Birkot Yaakov, Klei Hamas Mecheiroteim. They don't have the word Baruch right on Yaakov's lips at all. And yet with Shimon and Levi, right, what do we find? Ule Levi Amar Tumecha Ve'urecha Li'ish Chasidecha. All of a sudden, Shevet Levi has chesed. They have compassion. Asher Nisito B'masa Tiriveo Al Meim Riva. They didn't join with everyone else in the Mitloninim. Ha'omer la'avivu li'imo lo ri'itivech et achav lo hikir ve'et banav lo yada. In the Egel, what were they willing to do? Punish the people who really deserved it. Ki shamru imratecha. They keep your word. What did they do in Shechem? They didn't keep Yaakov's word. They didn't. Titen emet li Yaakov. U'britcha yinsoru. Double entendre. They keep your brit, your covenant, but also, what are they very strict on? Brit milah. Shevet Levi was lax about Brit Milah. All these people had Brit Milah and they killed them anyway. We know Shevet Levi was very careful. They always did Brit Milah in Mitzrayim and in the Midbar, right? We have very strong Midrashim on that. But here, the idea of the Brit. They are keeping the Brit. Yoru mishpatecha le Yaakov. Where does Yaakov fit in Birchot Moshe? Why does he stick Yaakov's name when he talks to Shevet Levi? Because originally, Besodam al Tavo Nafshi. Yaakov did not want to be mentioned with Levi. So where is he not mentioned? In Korach and in Zimri ben Salu with Shimon. But here, where should Yaakov be mentioned? In Birkot Moshe. It's so beautiful. Yoru mishpatecha li Yaakov, v'toratcha li Yisrael. We know Yaakov, Yisrael. Why use those two words? Because we want to include Yaakov's name. We want to show that he's part of this. Yasimu k'tora ba'apecha v'kalil al mizbechecha. They're the ones who bring the korbanot now. Barech Hashem chelo. What word is used now in Birkot Moshe towards Levi? Bracha. Ufo'al yadav tirtzeh. God wants their actions. What happened earlier? Their actions were not ritzuyim lifnei makom, but machatz motnayim kamav umisanav minikumun. But what trait did Levi keep throughout all the generations? Zealousness. They are zealous, but instead of using it for evil or bad, they channel it for avodat Hashem. Which shevet is not mentioned in Birkot Moshe? Shevet Shimon is not mentioned in Birkot Moshe at all. They did not turn themselves around. They did not redeem themselves. And what's fascinating is that Hashem gives Pinchas a brit shalom. The Levi'im do not go to war. They do not take klei milchama with them. When Bnei Israel conquer Eretz Israel, they do not take from the biza. Why aren't they allowed to take the biza? Poor guys. They don't have Adama. They don't have Yerusha. Give them something. Give them from the biza. Give them some booty. They muddied the waters. Achar temoti. When we were involved in Shechem, now they don't get the biza. It's tainted, and they have to show that they will not touch anything tainted. So I would just like to say something else, which is also interesting, and then wrap up. Rashi explains, page 10, we're finishing up. We see that Rashi explains this characteristic of zealousness is not just in Tanakh. The Chashmonaim. What was the role of the Chashmonaim, who are also Kohanim, also from Shevet Levi? When they wanted to fight God's war, they went and they fought a physical war in order to reach spiritual ends. So these characteristics of Shevet Levi really continue. We've charted the remarkable ascent of Shevet Levi from the depths of Shechem, Shritat Bnei Shechem, Michirat Yosef, to the pinnacle of justice and compassion. Shevet Levi channeled their zealotry to constructive ends, to a brit shalom. They internalized Yaakov's rebuke, tochacha in Breshit, and redeemed themselves and Am Yisrael. In Birkot Moshe, in the end of Dvarim, we don't hear of Shevet Shimon, but we bask in the glory of Shevet Levi. Never get stuck. You can always try to turn things around in your life. Try to redeem each situation, no matter how difficult. We may not succeed, but we really have to make that effort because we really might triumph. Now is the time of Parshiot Shovavim, Shmot va'era bo b'shalach yitro mishpatim, shovavim. It's really a time to reevaluate. Do tshuva, ma'ase chesed. A time of introspection and strengthening our commitment to Torah and mitzvot. We as women have the unique ability to turn things around in our personal, communal, and national lives. Just like Yocheved and Miriam, who galvanized and initiated the geula of Am Yisrael and Shevet Levi, so too we should learn from their example and bring about tikkun olam. Sometimes these tasks seem daunting. Who would have imagined 100 years ago that we would be learning here together in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh? Let's take that next step. Let's imagine the future and try to make it a reality. We really can do it, Be'ezrat Hashem. Bizchut nashim tzidkaniyot nigalu Am Yisrael. Let's take that challenge and start imagining. Thank you.